The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I'm back. Well, my voice isn't back, but I'm back. Hey, I missed you. Come to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And I know it's annoying to listen to somebody with a voice like this. And I wasn't gone because I was sick. I was gone because my wife and I planned to be gone for a few days. I just came home with this last night. But I appreciate you putting up with it because we have a fantastic show put together for you. One of the Enron primary whistleblowers, a good friend of the show, Lynn Brewer. She is going to explain what's going on with this cryptocurrency scandal. Brandi Cruz will join me for a half hour in the next hour as well. With all that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
I have to tell you that today I have less faith in the fairness of elections in America than I ever have before. Now, I'm not saying any election was stolen. I'm saying that when you have forces that are conspiring to the extent that we are about to prove to you that it's really tough for some people to prevail or some issues to prevail in this current environment in America. And I'm going to start with a story that has pretty much gotten buried. Oh, Brock, what's Brock doing there? A story that's gotten buried. You may remember a few weeks ago, Paul Pelosi, husband of Nancy, had some guy in his mansion at 2:30 in the morning. Police were called. The Today Show did a story and said Paul Pelosi opened the door for the police, didn't say anything was wrong, and then started walking back towards the intruder. Well, the reporter on that story, Miguel Almodar, who's a great reporter, he's been suspended now by NBC News for reporting that Paul Pelosi opened the door for the police. They will not tell their viewers why this reporter was suspended. But could it be because he was ruining a political narrative? For example, San Francisco's NBC affiliate, which is owned by the network. They are one of the O&O stations. They ran a story a couple days ago that was almost identical to the NBC piece, to the Today Show piece. And it said the exact same thing, that Paul Pelosi opened the door.
Now, there continues to be contradicting accounts of a relatively simple question. Who opened the door that night when San Francisco police arrived to the Pelosi house? Now, the Department of Justice says the two officers opened the door. That's according to a federal indictment filed earlier this week. But the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, in another court document that was filed earlier this month, said Mr. Pelosi opened the door with his left hand. So the question is, what really happened? According to a source familiar with the investigation who personally watched the police body camera footage from that night, officers knocked on the door of the Pelosi home, then backed away. And the video clearly shows Paul Pelosi opened the door with his left hand, just like what was noted in the documents filed by the DA's office.
Okay, so now they have proof that body cam footage shows that. But the NBC network removed the Today Show story from every one of their platforms, and the reporter on that story has been suspended. Okay, so why is this? Why are we going back over that story? Because the very next day, Jay Inslee had been given a memo by the National Democrat Party, and he was told what to say 2 weeks before the midterm election, how to use this phony Paul Pelosi story to party advantage.
Tiffany Smiley, Matt Larkin, Joe Kent, they're enabling this election denial, which foments this violence. When these candidates are asked point blank, was Joe Biden fairly elected, they refuse to answer. And yet, they go around allowing and enabling these doubts about the fairness of our election to spring and to grow.
So Jay Inslee took what was now a phony story, we know, that the Democrat Party said, okay, we're going to turn this, whatever Paul Pelosi was doing with that guy in his mansion, we're going to try to turn this into a national storyline. Jay Inslee was one of the first to get the memo, to start spreading this big lie. And then everybody in his party and in his party's media started parroting the same lie.
Democracy is at stake in this election, Nevada.
He made it clear that democracy is at stake this November.
Democracy is at stake this November.
Democracy is at stake.
Our democracy is at stake.
The future of our democracy is at stake.
We all know democracy is at stake.
This is the most important election coming up because democracy is at stake.
Nothing less than the future of democracy is at stake.
So what we now know is that the major media networks colluded with the Democrat Party. They killed a story that was legit on NBC News. They suspended a reporter. They've damaged this guy's career. And as the San Francisco affiliate is reporting, everything in that reporter's piece was true and accurate and now confirmed by body cam video from the police. So how do you prevail when you have everybody, almost everybody in the media, colluding with one party? And that brings us to this huge story that I'm going to give you the best coverage you will hear on what has happened in this cryptocurrency scandal involving a guy named Sam Bankman-Fried and the company that he started, FTX. Sam Bankman-Fried, a 29-year-old guy, pretty significantly on the spectrum, and because of that, he was quirky. And the media just ate up his story that he had somehow made $20 billion on cryptocurrency. We now know that what Sam Bankman-Fried did with FTX, it was a gigantic, maybe the biggest in history, money laundering scheme for the Democrat Party. They stole tens of billions of dollars from investors. Some poor people put their life savings into this. And they stole the money, laundered the money, and started funneling the money to the Democrat Party in the lead up to the midterm elections. So again, how do you, when you have the media, when you have government, when you have scandals like this all lined up for an outcome, then how can anybody else prevail against all of that? Enron was a money laundering scheme for the Republican Party. But this is much bigger than Enron. And like I said, coming up at 12:30, I'm going to talk to one of the main Enron whistleblowers, Lynn Brewer, and get her perspective on all of this. But this is all tied to the war in Ukraine. As you may have heard, a couple of days ago, two Polish citizens were killed when they were struck by a missile. The initial storyline pushed out was that it was a Russian missile. We now know that it was a Ukrainian missile. But the United States Secretary of Defense yesterday said even if it was a Ukraine missile that killed those two Poles, still, that means that Russia is at fault.
This explosion was most likely the result of a Ukrainian air defense missile that unfortunately landed in Poland. And whatever the final conclusions may be, the world knows that Russia bears ultimate responsibility for this incident.
So Ukraine missile kills two Poles, and our Secretary of Defense is telling Americans that it's Russia's fault. And why? Well, because we're about to send another $40 billion to Ukraine. And the money's just going to keep on flowing, as General Mark Milley said yesterday.
The United States are determined to continue to support Ukraine with the means to defend themselves for as long as it takes. We will continue to support Ukraine for as long as it takes, and we will continue to support them as long as it takes. And until then, we will continue to support all the way for as long as it takes. We will be there for as long as it takes.
Now, that little montage, as long as it takes, it was on Tucker Carlson's show last night. But the message is that American tax dollars are going to be sent to the Ukraine, maybe in perpetuity, if that's as long as it takes. So why? Why are they doing this to us? Because journalist Glenn Greenwald, he explained that we've already sent $91 billion to Ukraine. And Glenn Greenwald reported that we're doing that to protect their border while our southern border here remains wide open. We have sent Ukraine more than Russia's annual military budget. So why hasn't Ukraine used that money to prevail? Well, here's where it gets even more fascinating. Because you see, earlier this year, Ukraine partnered with a brand new cryptocurrency company, FTX. The Sam Bankman-Fried scam, the greatest fraud in the history of the world, is the way that this is going to end up being. Ukraine invested in FTX. What did FTX do? Well, FTX decided that they were going to use all of their money to fund the Democrat Party in the midterm elections. And I'm telling you, the media loved this Sam Bankman-Fried guy.
Hi, my name is Sam, and this is my story.
Sam has crazy hair. Sam is vegan. Sam sleeps 5 hours a night. Sam lives in the Bahamas with 10 roommates. Sam is 29 years old only, but Sam has $22 billion, and he wants to donate all of it to charity.
Well, he wanted to donate all of it to the Democrat Party, but he wanted to present himself as some young philanthropist. So he went on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. And Chuck Todd asked him, are you willing to disclose every donation you make?
In the end, I want to do what's right for the country.
You think every money you spend in politics should be disclosed publicly? Are you comfortable with that?
If there was a norm where every dollar that ever donated in politics was to be disclosed publicly, I would have a lot of sympathy for that. I think I might support it. I haven't thought carefully about it enough to know. But
well, it sounds like what you're saying is maybe there's some donations that you have made that you wouldn't make if you knew they were going to be immediately public.
So I think I don't generally think about it that way.
He doesn't think about that. So he doesn't know if he would keep making these tens of millions of dollars in donations if they all had to be disclosed. He also likely lied to Congress.
We have a transparent system where all of our data is, all of our public market data is openly available and free, where risk parameters are transparent.
That was not true, because what they were doing was they were taking their investors' money and they were pooling it. They were sending it to things like the Democrat Party. Sam Bankman-Fried was the second largest donor to the Democrat Party leading up to the midterm elections. Number two, at least $40, maybe $70 million is what he gave. But his plan was to give $1 billion to Democrats.
I imagine you have some probability distribution in your mind of how much money you might give in the next election cycle. Like, give me some number.
I would guess north of 100 million.
So if that's a floor, what's the ceiling? Like a billion? Might you give a billion?
Yeah, I think that's a decent, like, thing to look at.
Like it was a decent thing to like look at. So he was going to give $1 billion to the Democrat Party. So now let's follow this money trail once again. Congress authorizes $91 billion and counting to go to Ukraine. Ukraine invests earlier this year in cryptocurrency exchange FTX, or coin FTX. FTX steals the money from their investors, and the plan was to give $1 billion to the Democrat Party. And he gave between 40 and 70 million in the midterm election, second only to George Soros in money given politically in this country. Meanwhile, the people who invested this money, they have lost $32 billion of investors' money. The Sam Bankman-Fried, he lives in a penthouse in the Bahamas, a tax haven. He lives with nine of his employees in a polyamorous relationship. They all have sex with each other because they're just so sexy. And his girlfriend, who is one of the major players, Carolyn Ellison, she started a group called Alameda Research, I think it was. But it was just a side business of FTX. And this is the person in charge of tens of billions of dollars?
Use very little math. Use a lot of elementary school math.
So I see those abstract math classes are not, I know the, I'd not require.
You never have all the information, so you kind of just have to make your best guess based on what you can see. We tend not to have things like stop losses. I think those aren't necessarily a great risk management tool. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good example of a trade where I've lost a ton of money. Well, I don't know. I probably don't want to go into specifics too much with that.
All of these people should be in prison. United States needs to extradite them. They need to get them on trial. $32 billion has been stolen with the intent to funnel it to the Democrat Party. Meanwhile, Congress is sending money to Ukraine. Ukraine is sending money to FTX, and FTX gives the money to the Democrat Party. This is the biggest money laundering scandal in American history. Okay, I'm going to take a quick time out here, and then we're going to talk to as great an expert as you will ever hear on all of this stuff. Her name is Lynn Brewer. She was an Enron whistleblower, and she knows everything you need to know about this story. That conversation right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we told you in the big lead, we are looking at what might be the biggest corporate scandal in world history with this SBX cryptocurrency theft of tens of billions of dollars. The largest corporate scandal up till now has been Enron in the early 2000s. And one of the whistleblowers in the Enron scandal is a very good friend of our radio show. Lynn Brewer joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Lynn, it's great to talk to you once again.
It's good to talk to you, Dory.
Okay, I'm sorry for my voice. But other than that, I'm glad to be talking with you right now. So you were kind of an early crypto investor. You told me when you jumped in on Bitcoin, and I imagine you've been following this SBX scandal very closely.
Yeah, so we bought into Bitcoin when it was $4,000. So we have ridden the upside and the downside to this. We do not, other than Ethereum, we do not get into what are called altcoins or bleep coins. And we don't look at, we really stay away from these risky coins.
It's really amazing to watch how this has evolved because, first of all, the guy at the head of it seems as sketchy as can be. They were able to get big name celebrities like billionaire Larry David and Tom Brady to help shill for them, which seemed to give it some credibility. And for them to build up as much as they did in the customer base in such a short time, this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, he was said to have $20 billion at age 29. How were there not red flags through all this, Lynn?
Well, I think that there were red flags, actually. And in fact, he has been interviewed a number of times where he specifically stated what the weaknesses were in the regulators. But he was the third largest donor to the Democrat Party, right? So he gave, $70 million. So This is very similar to Enron in that case, because Enron gave $100 million to the Republican Party / George W. Bush.
Well, and what's amazing about all of this, too, is the country of Ukraine was an investor in FTX earlier this year. I mean, they're in the midst of fighting a war with Russia. I don't know how in the world they could be looking at sending some money or partnering with FTX, but now we have a pretty good deal. If the Democrats are sending tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine, Ukraine is giving it to FTX, and FTX is giving it to the Democrat Party, that at least gives the appearance, and it needs to be investigated, if this was a gigantic money laundering scheme.
It definitely was a gigantic money laundering scheme, but unfortunately, really what's happened here is that the little guy, like in the case of Enron, ended up being in a situation where they've lost their money, right? This is a Bernie Madoff, right? It's Congress.
Yes. Yeah.
And so there were a number of things, and of course the attorney that's cleaning it up was also the cleanup crew for Enron. And he has said today he's never seen anything like it. For instance, Sam's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend started something called Alameda Research, right? And you would think that that's a research company. It's not. It was a hedge fund. And all of the money that went into FTX actually went through the Alameda bank account. So, you know, keeping it out of peering eyes, because it's a separate entity.
And this girlfriend, she is on record saying that she doesn't believe in financial safeguards. She also doesn't believe in crypto, the you know, tens of billions of dollar industry that she was laundering money with, allegedly. She says that crypto was mostly memes and nothing else to back it up. So here's somebody who said that she doesn't believe in crypto while collecting tens of billions of dollars from investors. And some people put their life savings into this. I mean, it is so disgusting from top to bottom, Lynn.
Yeah, it really is. And what you've got here is you have young people who are making millions and millions of dollars as influencers on YouTube, right? So we look at Mr. Beast, he's making $300 or $400 million a year. Now he gives it away and all of that. But what happens here is people get in this FOMO or fear of missing out, and they're just impressed by the fact that Tom Brady is on television commercials advertising during the Super Bowl that this is the company to invest in or to bring your money in. And here's the problem. As we say, if your money is on an exchange or your coins are, quote, held on an exchange, they're not your coin. They're not your money. And so people need to look into alternative means by which, whether it's a wallet, which looks like a thumb drive,
right,
or you go to something like Swan, which is just completely different animal altogether.
Well, and I mean, I have a little crypto, and my wallet is in a company called Coinbase, and they have sent out an assurance to all of us that the money in our account, the coins in our account, will never be loaned out. They will never be leveraged. They will remain tied to each individual investor. Whether they live up to that, I guess the time will tell. But that is certainly not what FTX was doing.
Oh, no. But let me just say to you, we too have funds on Coinbase, and I invested in Coinbase when they first went public. I saw them as one of the leaders, but on their SEC filings, it's very clear that if they file for bankruptcy, your money is not your own. And so that's what's in their SEC filings. That's not what they send out to people. And unfortunately, we learned after the fact. And so in my world, I'm doing everything I can to get off of Coinbase.
Interesting. Well, that's good for me to know. I appreciate that. Yeah. Hey, Lynn, hold on. I'm talking with Lynn Brewer. She was one of the original Enron whistleblowers. Nobody knows more about this type of corporate scandal than Lynn, and she's going to spend the rest of the half hour with us. And coming up in the next segment, Lynn is also going after Sound Transit. You know how much I love that. So we'll continue our conversation with Lynn Brewer in just a moment here on The Dory Monson Show. Back with Lynn Brewer. Lynn was one of the Enron whistleblowers, and now we are looking at this incredible crypto story where FTX has collapsed after laundering tens of billions of dollars, apparently much of it headed for the Democrat Party. Okay, so Lynn, you watched how all of this slowly rolled out with Enron. First of all, the United States has to extradite this guy from the Bahamas, the Sam Bankman Freed, and get him before some subcommittees, don't they?
Well, I don't even think they go before subcommittees. I think that they go before the Justice Department.
Okay, good.
What he has done is criminal.
Well, and again, the darkness of all of this, his dad, a Stanford prof, helped Elizabeth Warren write the cryptocurrency regulations. And Elizabeth Warren is known to be the most skeptical senator about crypto. This guy's dad worked with Elizabeth Warren on some of the regulations that she drew up. So, I mean, this stinks to high heaven. Is this going to be bigger than Enron?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's just from a variety of standpoints, and I think you're going to find just who has dirty hands in this. Right. Yeah. There needs to be regulation in this industry because we've got everything from stable coins, which is supposed to be pegged to or backed. And this is the Doquan Luna deal that just blew up about 2 months ago, maybe 6 months ago. And what happens is these young guys talk this great story, but clearly they're scamming people. So if they're exploiting the weaknesses in the regulations, then there needs to be greater regulations, and those regulations need to be applied across the board. And then you have, of course, cryptocurrency and they had this FTT coin. And what they're finding now is that they had no investment in Bitcoin. So nothing. I mean, it was vaporware at best.
Yeah. It's amazing. Hey, real quick, you took the state of Washington for $100,000 when they failed to turn over public documents in a timely manner when you were looking into what employment security did or didn't do when they had all the hundreds of millions stolen from them. You're going after Sound Transit right now. Give me a real quick synopsis of that, and I want to talk to you more later in depth about it.
Sure. So became apparent to me, and people in fact told me this, that Sound Transit was fully aware by Peter Kiewit that what they were proposing to push this thing through, the expansion of Sound Transit, that what Sound Transit wanted to do was not workable. It wasn't going to hold up. And Peter Kiewit kept telling them, and they said, "We don't care. We want you to do it our way." And so I have done a public records request. I happen to know the woman who is running Sound Transit. She was overseeing, her name is Kimberly Farley. She is an attorney and a civil engineer, geologist. And what she oversaw was the tunnel. The Highway 99 tunnel.
Okay.
And going through that. So she's not without education or interest, but this was such a political sort of nightmare for them that Kiewit went out and said, look, we're doing a cover your behind end on this. And so, but Sound Transit went ahead and demanded that this expert, this international expert construction company, just ignore everything when it comes to prudence on what the proper thing is to do, and just took on and pushed it forward. So I've requested the public records on it. They're very slow to come, and I'm not seeing anything. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was just gonna say, I'm not surprised at all to hear this. I've been trying to blow my whistle about Sound Transit for 26 years now. And heck, they make FTX look like pikers. FTX are only into it for $70 billion. Sound Transit's into us for over $100 billion and counting. So I think they're the biggest frauds out there. But I better stop talking now for a couple of minutes, Lynn. I love talking with you about this stuff. And I really want to get you back on again soon as we watch this FTX story unfold.
Well, I think that the one thing, too, that is ironic about all of this is the attorney that has now filed a class action lawsuit against FTX actually represented Elizabeth Holmes, who is the fraudster in the Theranos case. What is sort of full circle is her dad worked at Enron.
Oh, jeez.
So she's facing 15 years in prison or something like that. And she'll be sentenced tomorrow.
Her story is incredible, too. Everybody's got to watch that documentary. Okay, Lynn, we're going to stay in close touch. I really appreciate your expertise.
Okay. Take care, Dory.
All right. Thanks, Lynn. My friend Lynn Brewer, she was an Enron, one of the whistleblowers that uncovered the Enron scandal, and she is all over this FTX case as well. And now Sound Transit next in her crosshairs. I love that. All right. Love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. We're going to check the news. And then the Fastest 15 is next here on the Dory Monson Show.